The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff and management. Discussion of specific points and general topics on this program are not meant to be taken as specific professional advice. Please check with your doctor on these issues.
Welcome to Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio. Your host is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Stay tuned as we examine different aspects of holistic wellness. Here's your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum.
Hello and welcome to Your Holistic Health, coming to you live from the studios of Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. This is your host, Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, holistic clinical pharmacist of RX Integrative Solutions. On today's program, we'll be talking with Dr. Lauren Fetter about her book entitled Natural Baby and Child Care. Each week, Your Holistic Health presents evidence-based practical tips on how to integrate body, mind, and spiritual principles into everyday living. We'll turn to Scripture to give us perspective on every discussion, focused on wellness and prevention, because we believe that God is a central part of the healing process. This week in the news, we're going to talk about glutathione, an antioxidant. And this information comes from the magazine entitled Delicious Living, August of 12. Glutathione, it turns out, is known as the body's master antioxidant. It combats free radicals and it helps support our immune system, among other things. I find this fact very interesting, and it is that our body is most vulnerable to oxidative insults when we awaken. I didn't know that. So the remedy is for more glutathione in our body, eat Brazil nuts, sunflower seeds, eggs, garlic, cinnamon, and lightly cooked fresh foods like spinach, avocado, and strawberries, not necessarily all in the same dish. More antioxidants is a great concept nutritionally in general, and that's typically the most colorful fruits and vegetables, one of the best of which is, once again, glutathione. Now it's time to introduce our guest. Dr. Lauren Fetter is a nationally recognized physician who specializes in primary care medicine, pediatrics, and homeopathy. She's been seen on The Doctors, on Oprah and Friends, and has been interviewed by Dr. Mehmet Oz. She's the author of Natural Baby and Child Care and The Parent's Concise Guide to Childhood Vaccinations, and she is in private practice in L.A. Welcome, Dr. Fetter, to Your
Holistic. Thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
Is there anything more precious and vulnerable at the same time than our sweet children? And here you are, a pediatrician who's taken an adventuresome path into natural medicine or complementary and alternative, as many know that aspect of our industry. I'm so curious how this came about for you.
Well, we all have our personal stories, and I really enjoy sharing mine. I am the daughter of an ear, nose, and throat surgeon, so I wasn't necessarily raised with natural medicine. And when I was 13 and when my parents were going through a divorce, I'll add that, my dad happened to notice a swelling on my neck, and he decided that I should go see a doctor friend of his, and I was diagnosed with a thyroid condition. And I had my first thyroid surgery at 13 and then my second one at 17. And I was put on Synthroid medication, thyroid medication, as a substitute so my thyroid would not work. And everything went very smoothly. It was not traumatic at all. And I went on my way and had very little complaints, either before or after the surgery. And then when I was doing my residency over here in Los Angeles a few years later, a friend of mine had said, oh, you know, I think you should go see this holistic practitioner. And I was just out of intrigue, and, you know, maybe there was a little somebody whispered something in my ear. I don't know. I was curious about alternative medicine. I went to see this holistic practitioner, and lo and behold, I was able to get off my thyroid medicine, and I have never been on any supplement or anything since for my thyroid. They obviously had left a small amount of the gland in, so I was able to do that. And you know what? That really opened my eyes and my heart, actually, because I realized that I was not trained with this type of thinking or approach, nor was I raised with it, and it was very exciting to me. And it was around that time that my professional life took a different course, and I knew that my calling was to be a physician, but more in the holistic way, if you will. Meaning, ultimately for me, it was to find the best of both worlds.
Well, how can we do that? Because I would share with you that you're still one of the minority in this country with regard to traditional physicians, as I am familiar with, I should say,
yes.
Especially in the Midwest. Perhaps it is different on the coasts. But how can we engage parents without the fear factor taking over in this arena?
Well, it's very interesting that you brought up the word fear, because if I can just take this as an aside, there is a lot of fear these days, just in general, even with delivering babies, with raising our kids, with coming down with our first fever, runny nose, etc. There is a lot of fear, let alone when we go to the grocery store, the fear of germs. And I think that parents are much more savvy now than when I grew up. My parents did everything the doctor said, which, you know, we would like to think that we can totally entrust ourselves to our doctors, and in many cases we can. But we're more savvy now, as I mentioned. We have more information at our fingertips, whether it be books or internet, which, you know, is readily accessible and sometimes too much. And parents want to participate more so with their practitioners than ever before. We are no longer willing to say, you know, to do everything that the doctor says. We have an opinion about things. And I think that parents are seeking out other practitioners and, let's say, holistic parent groups to fill that gap and give us a little bit more information and the confidence to take that route and ultimately get the best of both worlds.
And gosh, that model is so incredible once you get into it and realize that healing can be so much more broadly defined, or, you know, health and healing.
Yes.
You know, I guess first doing no harm and under the guise of evidence-based, let's talk about maybe just a couple conditions, because I know we could go on and on and forever on this, but let's just take a couple of conditions that you have had success with in using traditional and non-traditional interventions.
Okay. Shall we talk about ear infections?
Sure.
Okay. Well, whether we're an adult or a child, an ear infection can be extremely painful. However, I would say when we go to the doctor, doctors sincerely want to help, and we don't have that many tools to offer other than the pink stuff and maybe a solution for the ears. And, you know, I think the American Academy of Pediatrics has really asked doctors, because there's been such an overuse of antibiotics in this arena for treatment of ear infections, can we just wait and watch for, you know, a day or two? Because a lot of times with just some patience, which is a wonderful virtue and an excellent medication, a lot of things end up getting a little bit better, and maybe a little Motrin or Tylenol as a backup. However, in my practice, being more holistically minded, and as I tell people, as an MD, I have a certain amount that I can offer people. However, now as a holistic MD, and I'm a homeopath, I have so many more remedies to offer people before I get to the prescription. And lo and behold, many times we don't even need the prescription, and most of the time we don't. And that is such a wonderful thing to be able to treat an ear infection. So, for example, there are many homeopathic remedies for ear infections, because there's one remedy that might be good for the right ear and another for the left ear. Another remedy when our mucus, let's say, out of the nose is clear, and another is yellow-green. But I'm just going to pull a remedy out of the hat called Pulsatilla. It's homeopathic, and that's wonderful when the mucus is changed to yellow-green and we have an ear infection. Not uncommon, of course. And the child can be clingy and warm and not really be thirsty and like the open air. So we look at many different things. But in addition to using a homeopathic remedy, I might use some general herbs that might be beyond the scope of this discussion. And I love colloidal silver, which is a general natural antiviral, antibacterial. I use that a lot with children with confidence. We might take that a few times a day. And if it were an ear infection, I would follow it up with what we call the good old-fashioned garlic mullein ear drops. It smells like an Italian grocery store because it's full of garlic. But we could, you know, we can get these things at the health food store very reasonably priced. They will go take you a long way. And I write about it in the book, for example, in Natural Baby under ear infection, different possible remedies. And so that really gives parents a lot of empowerment to be able to use these books for kind of these minor self-limiting illnesses, not the big illnesses, but the more minor ones, which I often would consider an ear infection that way. The issue with the ear infection is we are using a lot of antibiotics, which sets up a vicious cycle. And lo and behold, I've met, you know, 10-month-olds that have been on 4 courses of antibiotics already, and that's not good. And I think doctors get frustrated, and so do the parents. So that is one condition that we treat very successfully 99 times out of 100 without an antibiotic. But it's wonderful to know that we do have the backup prescription if we need it.
All right, let's talk a little bit now about different stages of development, and I'm going to begin with the newborns. And here's a really sweet quote that comes from Prevention May of 12, and it's talking about snuggling and how much babies need adults to survive, not just for fun and laughter, but literally for their very lives. So it's wonderful for the children, the newborns, but it's also great for us because I'm told that it gets oxytocin buildup. It's a feel-good hormone, if you will,
yes.
And it helps us improve our immune system. So hug your baby. Hug, if you don't have a baby, hug a friend or hug a pet or hug a little stuffed animal, but hug, and hugging is great. I'm guessing there are a whole bunch more natural parenting tips for newborns that you've got in your bag of tricks. Give us a couple.
Let's start with this. When I was a little girl, our neighbor had her third child, and she was staying up in the bedroom. And I thought, that's so odd. You should be out and about and doing your thing. And now, as a mom myself, I understand, her name was Connie, very well, because going back to our newborns, I highly recommend staying home the first 30 to 40 days. We call it the 40-day period. You're going to see that in a lot of cultures. Most of our ancestral cultures had that. And that would be getting back to the hugging and breastfeeding and bonding. How important that stage is to connect mother, baby, and also baby with the family and father and relatives. At that time, mother should be taking care of baby and breastfeeding. Everyone else should be taking care of mother and the house. Not a time to be going out and doing errands. It is a time to snuggle. It's as if somebody has come on a boat, and we all need to shift and adapt to allow that time for adapting to this new, wonderful little presence in our lives that feels like a miracle, and to not have pressure so that you might be up at 2 a.m. because our babies are nocturnal animals, but you might be sleeping at 2 p.m. So that is you know, what can I say? It's wonderful piece of advice that I have used, and I share with other families as well.
All right, now before we go to break, let's dip into the toddler, the terrible twos.
Yes.
The toddler parenting tips, just a couple.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to say, you know, it really upsets me when I see a child abusing his or her parent. And I feel that sometimes parents can be a little bit too lenient today, and to try and speak with intelligence to a toddler who is acting in more of a primitive way, there is miscommunication. And I think that sometimes we need to give our kids space, and sometimes we absolutely need to give them boundaries, and they will respond better as well. They need to know, of course, that we are there for them and predictable, and we'll do what we say and follow through with it. But they also need to know that they can't rule the entire roost. So I think that's an important thing, you know, for our toddlers. And I really liked the book, The Happiest Toddler on the Block, by Dr. Harvey Karp.
There are some parents that are afraid to discipline because they don't want to be the heavy or the bad guy. And no disciplining is worse than, I guess, even too strict of boundaries. Can I say that? Is that correct?
Yes, I think that parents, it really depends. A lot of the things come from our own childhoods, by the way. If somebody, you know, had a very strong disciplinarian in the family, or even comes from an abusive household, they might be, what I have seen, sometimes actually be too lenient, or it can go the other way as well. And a lot of people confuse being a disciplinarian with abuse, and they are very different things. We never want to hurt a child, so that's not an option. But there are certain things that kids need as far as boundaries go. And I think for a lot of parents, it is a fine line in finding the best route. And I like to say that we are all a work in progress. What worked 6 months ago may not work now. With one child, you might be doing one approach, and another child another. And I think it's the one thing that I do ask parents to do is to be consistent, choose your battles wisely, and if you do say no, then to follow through with that, and so that your child does see that you are predictable and stable and good on your word.
Excellent and wise advice. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk a little bit about some of your thoughts about home remedies. And if you're just listening to our show, this is Your Holistic Health. Tonight we have Dr. Lauren Fetter talking about her book, Natural Baby and Child Care. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Your Holistic Health is brought to you by RX Integrative Solutions. Many Americans are taking prescription medications and wish they could find a way to take less. 42% of us have tried some type of complementary or holistic practice, including vitamins and other dietary supplements. Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions provides personalized consultations to review your prescription medications and dietary supplements and helps you find a simpler, back-to-basics way to health. She'll work in partnership with your primary care physician. For more information or to sign up for a consultation, visit rxintegrativesolutions.com. That's rxintegrativesolutions.com.
We're back, and you're listening to a broadcast of Your Holistic Health on Faith and Friends Radio in Dayton, Ohio. I'm Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum, and tonight we're talking with Dr. Lauren Fetter about her book entitled Natural Baby and Child Care. Well, Dr. Fetter, one of my favorite topics in the non-traditional world is medicinal herbs and home remedies. And there are so many different ones out there that the mind can just become overwhelmed, I guess, in terms of where to start. But I know you talk about some of these in your book. Would you like to share a couple of them with us tonight?
Sure. And I think that one of the things that I love about what I do is to find the best of both worlds, which I mentioned earlier, and to use things that maybe our great-grandparents were using, and let's bring that back. So, for example, the onion. When we, you know, the simple onion, the stronger the better, by the way, when we're slicing it in the kitchen, it will make your nose water, and it can be very irritating, actually. But it is a wonderful remedy when we have a stuffy nose, and that can even be wonderful for children who are very much prone to that. So if a child has a stuffy nose or an adult, you can slice some onion by the bed or the crib and leave it there at night, and it really permeates the air as well as the sinuses. And I really can't say enough about onion. I'm also a big fan of the hot water bottle. I think, going back, you were talking about snuggling earlier, there's something about the hot water bottle that is exudes warmth. And whether it be getting into a cold bed at night and putting the water bottle in it to warm it up, or even to holding on to it when you have a tummy ache, how wonderful that is to have. And we usually have about two per child in the household because we do use them often. And, you know, if it's houses here in Los Angeles actually are quite chilly. We are not very well insulated compared to back east. So our houses can be cold at night, and even just sometimes I'll be sitting and reading, and I will go and make a hot water bottle while I'm reading. I think that's been a very nice thing. I'm not a fan, by the way, of electric heating blankets and things like that, because I really don't know what the, you know, radiation or something that would come from the electricity, so I'm not a fan of that. Mm. I like fresh raw potato slices on an abscess. Of course, if it's a big abscess, you need to be in touch with your practitioner. But, you know, sometimes if we're going to put warm compresses on things, you can also add a slice of raw potato as well. There's so many things. Lemon. I will actually squeeze some lemon and in some warm water and take a cotton cloth and dip it in the water and then wring it out, and we might use that on the head or on the legs for a high fever. And you find that that can help distribute the heat more throughout the body and bring the heat down. So there's so many remedies that we have in our own simple kitchen that I encourage people to use that. I'm a big fan of hydrogen peroxide. It is said that possibly we can get sick, yes, of course, from germs around our nose and our mouth, but and even the ears is a possibility as well. And so when our kids are starting daycare or preschool, we can actually at night use hydrogen peroxide in the ears, kind of make it a fun game either before or after bath in the bathroom of, you know, pouring a little capful in the ear and letting it bubble and then turning the head the opposite way. So those are, you know, a few suggestions of things that are very easy to find and easy to use.
And fun. It sounds like it can
and
be fun to explore.
Too.
It's fabulous. All right, let's turn to vaccines. You knew I was going to have to ask you about this because it's flu season, and so many people have misconceptions about the inactive ingredients in vaccines, and some even think that they can cause autism, and you know all the literature that's been written on this.
Yes.
What do you think about vaccines in general?
Well, I would say, because I've never seen a case of measles, mumps, or rubella, or paralytic polio, it's probably due to the vaccines. So on one level, you can say that's a very positive thing. However, I think sometimes success can lead to excess, and I think it's important to find the right balance. I have met parents that have told me their child has never been the same since the vaccine, so I am inclined to believe them, because parents know their children better than any of us do. So I have also met kids, by the way, who are autistic, who've never been vaccinated as well. So I'm not just pointing fingers at one thing or the other. I think it's that vaccines are no longer immune to controversy. And, you know, growing up with vaccines for us, and my dad and my uncle came down with minor cases of paralytic polio in the 1950s. I think that was a big deal, and they were very fortunate. And I think that the concerns that people who lived in those days are different than the concerns now, and it's very confusing because we're not seeing the illnesses that we saw 50 years ago. And people are questioning whether this vast rise in chronic illnesses in our kids, could it be from the vaccines? And I would say absolutely, partially yes. And that is based on meeting too many parents about that. But like I said, there's other, I think there's other factors, and we may not know everything too. And I think that it is prudent when we vaccinate to take our time. I recommend that we do one vaccine at a time because a vaccination is meant to imitate Mother Nature. We call vaccine artificial immunity. Getting an actual illness is called natural immunity. And if Mother Nature gives us one illness at a time, out of respect, I believe that, to the human body, which is an incredible, miraculous instrument of God, if you will, we should do the same and mirror Mother Nature. So in our office, we split up our vaccines as much as we can. We take our time. We do offer remedies before and after, and we never vaccinate a child who is sick.
Again, wise advice, and thank you so much for sharing that. I'm certain that many of our listeners, parents of young children, are going to rely on your wisdom. And certainly it is an individual decision that needs to be a benefit-risk discussion with your pediatrician.
Absolutely.
Dr. Feder, we're coming into the last moments of our show. I just have one question centered around emotional health with children in general, all ages, and the aspect of playing outdoors, which is how I grew up, instead of sitting behind the computer or texting. And I have an accountability scripture that I want to share with our listeners who are parents of children. Mm-hmm. And it's from Proverbs 22:6, and it says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." And I guess my interpretation of that to this question is one of, if you keep sitting in front of the computer and texting on cell phones and expect to have a different outcome from that behavior, how can that be? How can we be emotionally healthy and good stewards of our emotional health in this journey?
Oh, my gosh.
And give me a 30-second answer, please.
Okay. Well, I think that children today suffer from nature deficit disorder, NDD, by the way. Mm-hmm. And I feel that technology is here to stay and that we have to find a balance. And going back to what we were talking about with our toddlers, that we do need to restrict the time that our children spend with these pieces of technology, which can be absolutely wonderful, but I think excess success can lead to excess as well in this realm. And I just feel it's important. And I'm not sure how, on another level, how on a physical level even, how unhealthy they are. They should not ever be put on somebody's lap. And as somebody once called all these PDAs and cell phones 21st century cigarette as well. So not to mention what it does to our mental and emotional state.
Good advice.
Yeah.
We're all out of time. Let me quickly share your websites. For more information on Dr. Feder, go to Dr. Feder, that's all one word, drfeder.com, or Holistic Moms Network at holisticmoms.org. Thanks to Dr. Lauren Feder for being with us tonight, and our quote of the week is an English proverb, and I quote, "The soul is healed by being with children," end quote. This is Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum of RX Integrative Solutions. Please tune in again next week at this same time to hear Jennifer Kennedy Dean talk about prayer on the next edition of Your Holistic Health. You are loved. Blessings and good night.
The views and discussion expressed on this program are for general information only and do not necessarily represent those of the host of the program or that of Faith and Friends Radio, its staff, and management. please contact your healthcare provider for specific professional advice on these topics.
Thank you for being a part of our discussion today. Please join Dr. Kathy Rosenbaum each Friday, 6 p.m. on Faith and Friends Radio for your holistic health.